This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America, and I'm your host, Gary Holt. Joining me is my trail partner and co-host, Tina Mae Weber. Good morning, Tina Mae.
Good morning, Gary.
And how are things in Missouri today?
Oh, they're gorgeous. Gorgeous. Gives you riding fever.
Well, I heard some little bird told me that you were packing the trailer and getting ready to head out this week, so that's pretty exciting.
That. Ready.
Well, who's going to be joining us on the show today?
Well, today we have Dennis Dodson of Rafter L Chuckwagon Cooking and Catering and The Shop from Poolsville, Texas. Then we travel to Alamo, Tennessee and talk with Kathy Moore and Terry Weaver about a charity ride, Saddle Up with St. Jude's Buck Creek Trail Ride.
All right. Well, we're going to have a good time with these folks. And Dennis, I think he's going to have folks rolling by the time we get through with visiting with him for just a little bit. But fun show today on Saddle Up America. And today's show is brought to you by our great sponsors at the General Store. You'll find everything for the horse lover and those that love the equestrian lifestyle at the General Store at our website, equestrianlegacy.net. And when we come back, we'll be talking with Dennis Dodson.
I'm back in the saddle again, out where a friend is a friend, where the longhorn cattle feed off the lowly Jimson wheat. I'm back in the saddle again. I'm riding the range once more, and I'm toting my old 44, where you sleep out every night and the only law is right. I'm back in the saddle again. Whoopie tie ho, I'm rocking to and fro, back in the saddle again. Hey, I go my own way, 'cause I'm back in the saddle again.
Daniels, our neighbor over here in Mount Juliet, Tennessee. But Dennis Dodson, welcome to the show today.
Well, it is a pleasure.
Howdy, Dennis.
How are you, Miss Tina?
I'm doing wonderful.
Well, great. And, Gary, I suppose you're doing as well as any man can be right now.
Well, I got my cup of coffee on my desk and enjoying talking with you guys today. And, you know, you were a lot of fun, Dennis, when we visited yesterday, I think it was. Go ahead, Tina Mae. We don't want to stop you.
He had me rolling. He's a hoot.
Yeah,
love it.
Yeah. Well, you know, you've done chuck wagon cooking for a couple of decades now, and you had some great stories that you were telling us. But how did you get started into the chuck wagon cooking?
Oh, Gary, I used to run a ranch out here, and I had a team of horses I fed with, and one day I was visiting with a friend, wound up buying a wagon, and decided to make a chuck wagon out of it just for, you know, piddling family-wise, and it's a dead-burn hobby that got plumb out of hand. So 20 years later, but we have had a lot of fun and met a lot of neat people. Of course, I'm kind of a prankster about stuff, so we've had our full share of good laughs, and some of them not so good, but hey.
I understand.
Sometimes well, them pranks backfire.
Yeah, well, they can. How did you get started cooking? I mean, did you enjoy cooking, or was it necessity, or
both of my grandmothers were great cooks. My mom is a fantastic cook. I grew up on a ranch up in the Panhandle.
Uh-huh.
Mom always cooked for the crews and stuff. And my grandmother, they had, once they left the ranch out there, they moved to a little old town there in West Texas, and they opened up a hotel. And she started cooking there, feeding everybody. And I just kind of hung around, I guess, a little bit too much, and kind of got in my blood, and I learned how. I don't know if that was a curse or a blessing, but I guarantee you I've had fun doing it. Now, I had to learn a little bit cooking over open fires and coals and stuff. I don't use the charcoal briquettes like a lot of the people do. It was mainly that out of necessity, and we used mesquite wood or oak wood, something like that, for our coals and stuff.
Right.
But like I say, for 20 years, it's been pretty good fun, and I do have a pretty large selection of Dutch ovens, so.
Oh, goodness. Well, you know, as we were talking yesterday, and Dennis, we've got listeners all across the U.S. and in about 50 different countries right now. And for the folks that are back in the East, it's kind of different when you're out working on the farm, on an Eastern farm, because when you get, you know, time for lunch, you can go to McDonald's or something pretty quickly. Occasionally somebody will put out a spread, growing up, I remember helping cut tobacco, and, you know, we'd come in and the lady of the house would have some great food and fresh from the cow milk that was just cold. But when you get back out west, it's a little bit different situation, isn't it, when you're working on those big ranches?
Yeah, it's a little bit different. It's pretty far stretch between McDonald's, I guarantee you. it's pretty far stretch.
Better food, too.
Between houses.
right.
So, we've gone some ranches, some pretty good size, you know, real estate out there. They're cooked on some of them. It's 30,000, 40,000 acres worth, and you kind of take all the stuff that you need to cook for these guys, because you may be out for anywhere from 4 or 5 days to 10 days sometimes.
Right.
So you need to plan out a little bit, and you can't just go milk the cow. So we They did make that milk there in them little cans. That sure saved me a lot.
Oh, that is a good thing.
Oh yeah, we you know, it's since you're raising beef and stuff, you usually eat most all the meals consisted of some kind of beef, and even the ranches and before, you know, when Charlie Goodnight first put the wagons together, well, mainly it was the what they could take with them was dried beans and dried rice and dried fruits. They had, at that time, they did have some of the canned milk. And the beef or the meat that they ate usually wasn't the beef that they were carrying unless one of them got crippled or something. It was stuff that they, you know, whether it might be deer or a buffalo or whatever, because that beef that was on the hoof, that was money, and they didn't want to eat the money. So,
right.
But so now it's a little different now. We they've got coolers and stuff and dry ice, thank the good Lord.
Right.
So we could take our own meat and stuff with us, you know.
Well, you were talking a little bit the other day about what kind of meals you prepare, and I know you've got a recipe or two that you're going to share with us, but talk about these cowhands. And
well,
how many meals would you fix, and what was that like?
You'd get just like everybody else. You get three meals a day, and the first one's pretty early, and the second one's about noontime, and the other one's pretty late. So most of the time on the wagon, and now I'm not saying all the wagons do the same thing, but we always tried to have a pretty hearty breakfast for them, and which be the same thing. I'd fix flapjacks and eggs and bacon and sausage and sourdough biscuits and stuff and gravy and whatever, and that get them started. And lunch, though, when during the summer months of the heat, those boys don't like to eat a whole bunch because it sure kind of wants to slow them down. They want to take naps, and you can't do
that. Right.
You feed them a little lighter at lunch, but then at night I always tried to feed a big meal, whether it be chicken fried steaks or steaks themselves or even prime rib or whatever, and really tried to, you know, make sure them boys were fed good, and if I could keep them happy, well, the boss, he was happy, and everybody else, and I felt like I did my job. Of course, you always had to have some kind of dessert. And,
right.
Bread pudding was always easy because, you know, you had bread left over from breakfast or sometimes for lunch, so that was bread pudding. And buttermilk pies and, you know, stuff like that was pretty easy to fix without, you know, taking up all your time. And so that was kind of the – and, of course, you always had gallons of coffee and tea, and that was about it. There wasn't no soda pops or something like that, you know. That was they drank what I gave them.
yeah. Well, of course, we talked a little bit about the fact that the most important person back on a roundup or cattle drive is the cook. And
yes, sir.
Yeah, but sometimes they're a little bit disrespectful, aren't they? Mike
it
usually doesn't take very long to straighten them right out.
Yeah. You were talking about somebody getting into your wood pile or something the other day.
I had some boys. I always keep my cooking wood, which is always hardwood. I kind of keep it separate. And them boys would come in, and at night, after they get through eating, well, they may get out there and pick and grin a little bit and tell swap lies or something, you know. Or so I got finished one evening, and I told them boys, I said, now, y'all sit out here by – they had their own little fire. I told them, y'all sit out here and play all you want and stuff, but just stay out of my cooking wood. You know, there was a bunch of cedar posts and stuff, and they said, okay. So I went to bed and got up the next morning about 4:30 and go to my wood pile to start building a fire up, and them dad burn ornery cusses got into my cooking wood. So I just decided to heck with it. I just went over and stripped off a bunch of that bark off of the cedar post and throwed it in a big old pot, throwed some water to it, and brought it to a boil. And they come to eat breakfast. I just pulled the lid off that thing and said, there you go, boys. Now next time, stay out of my cooking wood.
I bet that worked. I bet they didn't get your cooking wood no more.
No, they didn't. Matter of fact, they were starting to bring in good oak and mesquite wood to me right after that.
Yeah, I would say they were still hungry. They were still hungry. Well, we want to talk about there was another little funny story that you told us, and we want to talk about it when we come back. Something about a marshmallow plant.
That's good.
But we want to talk about that when we come back, and then you know, you're not out on the trails now as much. You do some other campfire cooking and chuck wagon cooking and catering. But we want to talk about those things when we come back. But this morning, okay. I was thinking, Dennis, about these stories that we were talking about yesterday. And a good friend of ours, Belinda Gale, has a new album out called Granite Mountain. And one of the songs on that, I had to get on the air today because I was thinking about you. And this is one that's called Don't Talk to Jake. And when we come back, we're going to talk some more with Dennis. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America.
Like waking up a bear in the middle of a winter sleep. No, don't talk to Jake for his first cup of coffee. At least not if your head intact you would like to keep. Now Jake, he is a mighty fine man, hardworking, fair and true. If you needed it, you know he'd give the shirt off his back to you. But now in pre-dawn light, if you see him without a cup of coffee in his hand, just turn and walk away if on your feet you'd like to stand. That poor little greenhorn kid unwound just like a sprocket as he walked right up to Jake with both hands stuck deep in his pocket. He fired off three questions as Jake was pulling on his boots. Jake sent him flying backwards like a calf out of the chute. Don't talk to Jake till his first cup of coffee. It's like waking up a bear in the middle of a winter sleep. No, don't talk to Jake till his first cup of coffee. At least not if your head intact you would like to keep. Now, Jake, he likes his coffee real sweet, unlike most cowboy style. Heaping spoonfuls, 3, 4, 5, made us wink and smile. One April Fool's, we came up with a plan we thought was clever. But when cowboys go to thinking, it can be a risky endeavor. We swap the sugar for the salt when Jake's sound sleeping. You think that we'd have known by now a whirlwind we'd be reaping? Oh, we was grinning ear to ear as Jake loaded up his Java. But frozen care as he erupted like molten spew in lava. Yeah, don't talk to Jake till his first cup of coffee. It's like waking up a bear in the middle of a winter sleep. No, don't talk to Jake till his first cup of coffee. At least not if your head intact you would like to keep. Now the rest gets kind of fuzzy, but there was blood and bones cracking.
when we came to, that bunkhouse sure had suffered a ransacking. But it looked good compared to us, all bloodied, bruised, and broken. We sure enough picked the wrong cowboy for all our practical joking. We try to forget that fateful day, though we know Jake felt pretty bad. Gosh, he was more surprised than us when he went raving mad. It's legend round the bunkhouse, greenhorns asking for the story. None of us ever messed with Jake till his first cup of coffee. Yeah, don't talk to Jake till his first cup of coffee. It's like waking up a bear in the middle of a winter's sleep. No, don't talk to Jake till his first cup of coffee. At least not if your head intact you would like to keep. That greenhorn kid, he pulled up stakes and lamps, said this life is too rough. And Jake, well, he always tastes the sugar now before he puts it in his coffee. Yeah, like we'd ever try that stunt again.
Belinda Gales, Don't Talk to Jake, and that's from her Granite Mountain CD. And, Dennis, did you ever have any folks that were like that? You just don't talk to them till they had their coffee.
Oh, yeah. We have run across a few of them like that. That song reminds me, we did a gathered deal one time in Oklahoma City. And we were showing off the chuck wagons, and people come in, we'd fix stuff in the oven, or Dutchies, you know, and they'd come in and get a sample of everything. Well, one of my friends there, he was in a hurry getting a cobbler built, and he did the same thing. He grabbed the salt bucket and throwed that in instead of the sugar.
Oh, me. Oh, me.
He didn't serve too much of that cobbler, I don't think.
Oh, goodness.
But yeah, I've met a few of them boys that you don't want to wrestle on them too much till they've kind of had, most of them, it's that first pot of coffee.
Well, yeah, I'm kind of that way myself, so I don't talk to anybody until I've had one or two cups of coffee. But anyway, cute song from Belinda Gale, and it made me think about you. You were, and I want you to share this one. This was, I think you said there were some young ladies kind of from up in the northeastern part of the country.
Yes, sir.
But tell us about that. It had something to do with hot chocolate or something.
Well, you know, like I say, I'm a little bit on the prankster side and love to have fun with people. And we did a seminar one time, and these people would come in, and they'd bring their horses and stuff. And at night, they'd come down to the chuck wagon, and I always had coffee out for everybody. And these two girls, they didn't like the coffee. And I told them, I said, well, I've got some hot chocolate there. So I fixed them some hot chocolate and told them, I said, tell you what, in the morning I'll have you some hot water over here. We'll have some more hot chocolate. And I said, I'll see if I can go down there at the river and pick some more marshmallows. Because it was about, you know, 1st of November, and I said, that's just about the right bloom for it. Well, these girls' eyes lit up. So they went to bed, and I went over there and found me an old tumbleweed, and it took me 30, 45 minutes, and I sat there and stuffed them little marshmallows all over that dad-burned tumbleweed. Laid it out there on the big gathering table, and they came in to camp that morning and got them their hot chocolate. And I told them, I said, now, girls, I laid you a fresh-picked bloom of marshmallows over. They walked around, looked out there at that table, and I guarantee you they were just in awe. They had never seen a marshmallow tree. And they just, that was the best marshmallows. They did not know that them things grew on the brush. And I told them they was the wild kind, so they were the best. And they actually wanted me to take them down to the river there and so they could pick some marshmallow trees and take back home with them. So,
oh, wow. Well, you know, Tina May called yesterday after we had that conference call with you, and she said, "I wonder where I could get some seed." Try your co-op, Tina May. Maybe you'll find somebody.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's.
I had an old glass eye. It was about the size of a cow eye or something, you know. And I had a friend of mine had made them. They're just big old marbles, but they look like eyeballs. And I'd always keep it in a chuck box. We'd do a big stew or something like that when it was cold, and I'd put that in right there at the top and put the lid on the stew pot. They'd come get it, and I'd open that thing up, and that eyeball staring at them, and then people would, you know. I'd tell them that way they could see what they're eating, see.
Gosh. Well, you can. You know, I think folks can tell that you just have way too much fun. But if there is such a thing, but let's talk a little bit about your chuck wagon business and your catering business and I know, and Tina May, you jump in because you're going to know more about recipes than I do, but
I don't know about that.
Or maybe not. Maybe
I didn't
not.
See any Betty Crocker on my resume.
Well, you know, anybody that asks for marshmallow bush seeds, I don't know whether they know much about it.
Oh, Lordy.
I'm going to keep my eyeball peeled out, Miss Tina, and as soon as I find some, I'm going to send them to you.
You do that.
That's too funny.
I want to know if there's any secrets that you can share with our listeners on Easy Campfire Cooking.
Well, I've got two recipes that were always just pretty good hits on the wagon and stuff. And one of them was my grandmother's buttermilk pie. And
that sounds good.
Oh, and it's easy. That's what makes it fun is you whip it up and be done with it. But you've got three eggs. You got a cup and a half of sugar, one stick of butter, a big heaping teaspoon or tablespoon full of flour, a half a cup of buttermilk, and two teaspoons of lemon extract. So what you want to do is you're going to take them eggs and break them in your deal, beat them things up, then cream your butter and your sugar, mix all that together real good, and then add that flour, and you can do it all in the same pan at the same time. It's the best way to do it. Then I put my buttermilk in, and I put that lemon extract in. And, you know, you can do it without the lemon extract if you want to. My grandmother just loved lemons, and she always put lemon extract in it, so I just have always done it. Anyway, you can take an unbaked pie shell that you can go down there to the local store and buy them things, roll it out in your pie pan, and put that mixture in there. Put it in the oven at about 350 degrees and let that thing bake till it sets. And it's usually, you know, I really not ever done it in an oven. In a Dutch oven, it's about 35, 40 minutes. But
yeah.
It's like a custard.
Right. You want it to custard up and quit jiggling and stick the old toothpick in there, you know. But that's the easy buttermilk pie. And like I say, you can not put the lemon extract in it, but my grandmother, that's the way she always did it, and I just got accustomed to it. So, and the other one is one I came up with just on the chuck wagon. It was a good vegetable for them boys because it had a little little kick to it. We called it just spiced cream corn. Now, the recipe that I have, y'all have to remember that these things are for feeding quite a few people.
Right, right.
So, these recipes will run 18 to 15 guys, and most of the time they ate pretty good. So, but this one is a gallon size of a can of corn, just regular corn. And then I took a stick and a half of butter and two of those little 8-ounce packages of cream cheese, a half a cup of milk, a good pinch of salt, three cans of Rotel, and some crushed tortilla chips. That's all the stuff that's in it. But I'd just take my Dutch oven and I'd soften up that cream cheese and that butter a little bit and put that in my Dutch oven, put my milk and my salt in there, and then I'd kind of heat it up pretty good and get it where it was starting to kind of melt down. Then I'd put the corn and the Rotel in that thing and mix it pretty good and let it sit there and simmer for just a few minutes. Then I'd take them tortilla chips and just leave them in that bag, and I'd just have fun mashing them all to pieces, you know. Take out my frustrations on them tortilla chips. Anyway, just sprinkle them up on top of it, and you can do this with, you know, in the house. You're going to have to figure, cut that down a little bit, but I think most girls and guys that can cook a little bit can figure this out. But then just put it in the oven for about 30 minutes at about 350 degrees and let it kind of bake up some more and get that good bubble look to it. And I have in the past sometimes sprinkled just a tad bit of cheese over the top of it and let it melt out. But them boys all seem to eat that up pretty good. And like all the cooking I did, I always tried to do it as just as a where I could do everything in one deal. And I don't like to wash dishes that much, so.
Amen.
I try to do everything in one pot at one time. So, but
that sounds good. That sounds like a Mexican corn dish. That sounds good.
Yeah, and that's kind of where we were somewhere eating one time, and I had some corn that was similar to that, and that's kind of the stuff that I tasted in it. So that's kind of what we came up with, and. Most all these recipes, a little trial and error anyway. If they don't eat it, don't make it next time.
Yeah.
And if they eat it, you better remember it.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we're gonna have to get you to put that on your Facebook page, Dennis, so people can come and get those recipes off of there. So,
absolutely.
That.
Yeah, I bet you
I can do that. And
since
I've kind of slowed down over the years a little bit, I'm reaching that, what do they call that, prime age, you know, where you just don't want to work near as hard as you used to, but you still want to work. Slowed down.
Right.
But we've started doing a little bit of shop work and stuff. You know, I build some of the stuff that I used to use with the old Dutch ovens and on the chuck wagon. And we started, I've built one or two, and I'm getting requests to build just chuck boxes that go on the patio. And, you know, when you're out there barbecuing or grilling or whatever, and everything's right there in that chuck box. And so that, but that way it kind of, I get to stay around it, you know, without being completely away from it.
Right.
Because I do like my chuck wagon.
Well, and I know that you're still into that and still in demand. You know, we want to mention to folks that not only do you have the Rafter L chuck wagon and catering business, but you also have the shop where you do fabrication. And you're one of our Legacy Club sponsors and make beautiful portable fire rings. And I know the gal that won our monthly drawing last month for that was just tickled to death with hers.
Wow.
And
she loves it.
Well, yeah. It was kind of born out of, just like on the chuck wagon, it was kind of born out of necessity. My wife and I will go places and ride and camp sometimes. And unless you have a contained fire, well, they won't let you. And I got tired of picking rocks up and dragging them to camp.
Right, right.
So I came home and sat down and come up with these little things, and they kind of took off a little bit. And so I've been producing some of them. A lot of people go camping, whether they're equestrian campers or, you know, just people going camping. And I'm trying to work on a deal, I guess, now. People are asking me if I could build something for there that they can cook steak on for them. So
that's a good idea.
Figure me something else out there, too.
That's a good idea. Well, listen, you have been a ton of fun to visit with, and great stories. We'd like to have you come back and talk some more about some of this chuck wagon cooking. And
I'd love to.
Visit Dennis's Facebook page. He has a personal Facebook page, and he also has a Facebook page for the shop, and you can like that on Facebook. Visit our website, equestrianlegacy.net, and you can connect with him from there as well. And just a lot of fun. We'll have to tell some more of these stories about some of you cooking. And I'm looking forward to Tina May actually supplying you with marshmallows from her crop this next year.
I am. If it's going to be a cold winter,
I want some good hot chocolate
now.
And some good hot chocolate. But listen, Dennis, thanks for taking the time to join us. And we're going to be going to Alamo, Tennessee when we come back. And we're going to be talking with Kathy Moore and Terry Weaver about the Buck Creek Trail Ride to support St. Jude's Children's Hospital. And visit Dennis at the shop on Facebook. Visit him at equestrianlegacy.net, and you can connect there from our website, from our Legacy Club sponsors. And we'll tell some more stories next time, Dennis.
Sounds good to me. I really enjoyed it.
All right. Well, we appreciate you very much. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Kathy Moore and Terry Weaver. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America.
Come ride with me, it's time to saddle up right away. There's so much to see, don't worry, I know the trails, I know the way. I called a gentle horse, his eyes are big and brown, he's ready to carry you the whole world around. Come ride with me, let's ride away. Come take a chance, I'll show you where the mountains touch the sky. It's a horseback dance, and we can ride forever if we try. A dream in the distance, there for you to chase. Out in the sunrise with the wind on your face. Come ride with me, let's ride away. And the smell of the leather, the sunlight on your skin, they've got us aching to begin.
The rumble of hoofbeats much stronger than wine. The dust in your hair, the light in your eyes. Come ride with me, I will run the hills and watch the eagles soar. It's where you want to be, so tell me just what you're waiting for. We'll camp near the meadow and we'll love the night away, and saddle up again when the dawn is turning gray. Come ride with me, let's ride away. The sunlight on your skin, they've got us aching to begin. The rumble of hoofbeats much stronger than wine. The dust in your hair, the light in your eyes. Come ride with me, we'll run the hills and watch the eagles soar. It's where you need to be, so tell me just what you're waiting for. I will camp near the meadow and love the night away, and saddle up again when the dawn is turning gray. Come ride with me, let's ride away. Come ride with me, come ride with me today. Come ride with me, come ride with me, come ride with me. Oh, come ride.
That's Dave Stamey, Come Ride With Me, and we're on the road now, headed down to Alamo, Tennessee, and we want to welcome to the program Miss Kathy Moore and Mr. Terry Weaver. Hi, folks. How are you doing?
Hi, we're just fine.
Well,
we're
glad.
Doing good. How about y'all?
Good, good. Glad to have you on here, and you've got some big things that are starting, and I think maybe even have started already. Some folks coming in early to start riding down in Alamo, Tennessee. But, Kathy, why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got this event started and when? And I know Tina May is going to jump in because I believe she's going to come down and join you this weekend.
That's great. Yeah, started about 1999. I used to ride horses over in Arkansas. And
hey, Kathy.
Those were
Kathy.
We're echoing
Kathy.
Bad, yeah.
Yeah, yes.
Kathy?
Yeah, your echo
is... Yeah, I think
is,
you got
is...
it on your internet, too. You might need to turn that off. It's echoing.
I'll just hang up and do it one more time. I don't know what's going wrong with this phone.
Okay, all right. Well, Terry, while...
Terry's
while,
over there. Talk to Terry.
Yeah,
he
while...
He wants to see about his farm where we have this at.
All right, well, we'll do that. We'll do that. But Terry, you sound really good. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your location there at Weaver Farm and how folks can find you and how you're set up there.
All right. Just go down, if you're coming from Nashville, go down I-40, hit 412 and come to Alamo exit. And get off there, go north like you're going to Trenton, and then turn about, that'd be about 7 miles, and you'll come to 152, hang a left. It's all on the state highway, and it's just right out here where you can see it, you know.
Okay. All right. Now,
so if you're coming from Dyersburg, you know, you just come up 412 and take a left on 152 and go 4.5 miles, and I'm on the right.
Okay. All right. Now, do you have directions? I know that you have a website that is brushcreektrailride.org. Can they find directions and MapQuest it or find you that way from that website?
Yes. They have directions on the website. You can get it off of there.
Okay. All right.
Also,
brushcreektrailride.org.
Yes.
Okay. Terry, tell us a little bit about this is out in the field, isn't it? So it's pretty much primitive, but you got a lot of lights and things. Is that right?
Yeah. This place will be lit up like the county fair. it's about a 40-acre farm, and it'll be full of campers. You know, you can't miss it. You'll be going down the road, and you'll see a 6 to 10 rebel flag flying in up by the road, and that's where we'll be at.
Okay.
It's, you know, well, it's family farm. You know, we've had it. It's been in the family since about 1920. So.
I believe you guys were saying before that it is all fenced in. So, you know, where people tie up their horse, they're fenced in, so it's pretty safe.
Could you say that again? I'm sorry.
I said your field where everybody's parked at and they'll have the horses is also all fenced in, correct?
Yes, it is. It's all fenced in. That way, you know, if anything gets loose, we can just close the gate and it's contained, you know.
Okay. Right.
And we've got Ed back on the phone now as well. So.
Yeah. Maybe I want it better this time. Is that better?
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds good.
Yeah, hi, Kat.
Hi. Also, Terry had a sister that had leukemia and was a patient at St. Jude's. And that's another reason why this kind of touches his heart, too, on this one farm right here. So we're very proud to have this acreage, to have this ride on.
Well, you've done an incredible job with this ride. We didn't hear you earlier. When did you start this, and how long have you been doing this?
I started this in 1999. We were at a different location. But we're still here in Crockett County, which is our county seat is Alamo. We're in West Tennessee. But we outgrew that place. I used to ride in St. Jude Trail Rides over in Arkansas, and when I moved back home in 99, I didn't know who was riding horses anymore because I've been gone for like 20 years. And so I couldn't find anybody that was doing anything, and I thought, well, this is a good place to have a St. Jude Trail Ride. So I just started asking people and pulling it together and inviting people over to the house. And back then, everybody used to bring potluck, and we'd put food out on all the tables. And when that line would form for them to eat, you'd just, good Lord, that there was enough food for everybody. And it always worked out to where it was. We'd have food left even.
Wow.
But now,
this started
now
on
we,
Thursday.
I'm sorry? We're riding on Thursday? Yes.
It starts on Thursday and goes through to Sunday. And you
right.
have lots of activities, lots of vendors. Let's talk about that.
Okay. Thursday afternoon, we're going to leave out and ride to our town up here, our county seat, and circle around. And there's a nursing home up here we're going to ride by so the elderly folks can watch us come by. We get back here, back to camp. There's a band starting at 7 o'clock, and they'll play Thursday night. Then Friday you can ride at your own leisure. Just stay out of the crops, throwing trash down. Friday night, we've got two bands, Bullet Town and Bobby Marquez is coming from Nashville. Bobby's really good. Bullet Town, they're great. They're a local group, too. Saturday morning, the ride leaves out at 9 o'clock, and we'll be riding through the countryside over here. We've got a lot of row crop, cotton fields, corn fields, but we'll be going through that area. There's no mountaintops to climb. We're just pretty much kind of flat ground. They threw some fields and woods and stuff. They'll be back in about 12. at 12:30, and at 1 o'clock we have some children that have been coming every year that have been patients at St. Jude and still are patients that get up there and tell their story. And then our auction will start as soon as that is over. We have live auction and silent auction. And at 4 o'clock, we've got Boy Scout troop. They come and they play games with all the kids that afternoon. We've got horse costume contest. Got a dress a goat, chicken chase. There's just a ton of activity for the kids that afternoon. 7 o'clock that night, we have a young man, Jackson Nance. He's 15 years old. He'll be playing first. Jackson has donated all his time for coming to sing. He's not going to charge us anything. He is an upcoming young artist working on an album release now. After him, there's Doug Bartholomew Band. They're a local band here close to us that are really good. And then Sunday morning, we will have church at Cowboy Church at 8:30. And then Sunday afternoon about 1:30, we'll have another ride going out if anybody wants to join. And that's just a highlight. Wow. That's not everything that's spontaneous that happens.
That is a full week. And tell everybody what the cost is for all of that activity.
The cost is only $15 for the entire weekend. That's adults. Children from 5 through 12 is only $5. And we keep
wow.
our prices low coming in the gate because we want you to donate to St. Jude. And there's no reason for anybody not to come with those prices like that. I mean, they can even go out ahead of time and collect donations. If an individual collects a $100 donation and then a family can collect $200 donations, they pay when they come in the gate, but whenever they get inside, they come around to our registration tent and turn in their money. We will give them their gate fee back, plus they get incentives of St. Jude T-shirts and bags and blankets and things. So it's a no-win situation.
It's a win-win situation.
Yeah, it's a win-win situation for everybody. That is.
And you also have food vendors there too, correct?
Yes. We have a variety of food vendors, everything from there's Mr. Charles Taylor, he's local. He goes and catches the catfish on the Tennessee River all summer long, and he cooks the best catfish plate you've ever eaten in your life. Roger Parker does barbecue. He is going to have ribs, Boston butts, sandwiches, chicken, the whole works. We have two other vendors. There will be plenty of hamburgers, hot dogs, nachos, french fries. You name it, it's going to be here.
Well, I just think that's fantastic. Why don't you tell everybody how much, tell the audience how much you've raised since you started this for St. Jude?
Well, in 1999, we had 68 horse riders when I started, and we raised $2,800. Last year, we had over 460 horses present with anywhere from 2,500 to 3,000 people here because you do not have to have a horse. We raised $73,500 last year, and our total for sending in to St. Jude over the past is $347,000, a little bit over that. But you don't have to have a horse to come to this. It's we've got the music, we've got the hay wagons that go the same trail as the horses go. I mean, there's something for everybody to do. A lot of people come down here, they don't even bring a horse. They're just here for there's probably... I would figure there's probably 40 campers here already.
Well, you have some pretty regulars that actually, they kind of plan their vacation around this event each year, don't they?
Yeah, they plan their vacations. They'll plan their family reunions. We've got a group that comes, part of their family's in Memphis, part of their family's in Nashville, and they meet here at Buck Creek St. Jude Trail Ride once a year. We've got people that don't even live a mile from here in that camp all week and go home, so...
Wow.
We got people coming all across every state just about. Last year we had folks in California. We've had folks in Texas. This year there's two different groups. One's coming from Georgia, another's coming from Alabama. We have Mississippi folks come, Arkansas. It's just you never know when they're going to show up.
Well, I think that sounds fantastic. And your doors are actually open now, so they can come anytime between now and it's over with on Sunday, correct?
Correct. Yes, sure. Because we're getting them folks packed in here now. Just make sure when you do come, if you are within the state of Tennessee, all that's required is a negative Coggins in the past 12 months. And then if you're from out of state, you need health papers and your Coggins, your negative Coggins. If you're bringing horses, we don't demand it on the ones that come without a horse. So they can get in without blood testing.
God.
We're nice about that part. We're nice about it.
Yeah, it sounds like you got some of those marshmallow bushes down there too. So there is a sense of humor. There is a sense of, hey Terry, how did you get involved in this?
I kept the cows. We had cattle drives a couple of times, and I kept the cows because it was a halfway point. And when Kathy moved, she asked me, "Did I want to have it here?" And I said, "Well, the place is available. If you want to use it, you can." So that's kind of how I got started in it. I always went down to their trail ride down at Old Mounds when I had it too, so I was familiar with it and how it operated and everything.
Well, that's
and
that.
So I built my stage out here about 4 years ago, I guess, since, you know, that way we didn't have to take one down, put it up and take it down and all that stuff, you know, so.
Now, how much land do you have there for folks to come in?
It's 36 and a half acres.
Okay.
Right at 40
right.
acres.
All right. And then I'm sure that you've already talked about this, but Terry and I were on the chat line, so we weren't listening. But how much riding do you actually have as part of the trail ride?
It's a 3 hour ride.
Okay.
It'll probably cover 8 miles, probably.
Okay. All right.
I haven't checked it for sure, but about 8 miles, probably.
Okay.
And they can ride around any of the edges of fields and stuff around here, too, just as long as they stay out of the crops. Farmers are really good to us about it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, they can ride before they, you know, go on the trail ride. If they're out here, they can just saddle their horse up and ride around as long as they stay out of the crops. We're good, you know.
Well, how far are you from Alamo? Because I think you were talking a little bit earlier about riding into Alamo on Thursday. How long a ride is that for you?
It's about 4 miles to Alamo up Nance Road, 4 or 5 miles.
Okay.
And it'll probably be a 2.5 hour ride, I would say.
All right. Well, that sounds good. And then I think that you mentioned, Kathy, that old folks like me enjoy sitting back and watching you guys come into town.
Yeah. There's a nursing home, and a lot of the folks that are in that nursing home, we know all of them and that kind of thing. And they called earlier today, because we hadn't planned on going by there, but they called earlier today and asked if they got all the residents outside, that if we would ride through there and make a loop around the nursing home. And I told them, oh, gosh, absolutely. You know, that would just make those folks really happy. And we do this, we're doing that this first time this year as just a get ready for the Buck Creek St. Jude Trail Ride, because our county mayor dedicated this week in Clocky County as Buck Creek St. Jude Trail Ride Week. So we was trying to think of something to really promote it, and that's what come up with. So.
Well, that's great. Now, I understand you've got green horseshoes that are hidden around different places.
Oh, yeah. I take a horseshoe, wrap it with this neon green tape, and I take them to the different stores across the county and give them to the merchants, and they hide them in the store. And if they're people that come in there to shop find the green horseshoe, then they get a ticket to come out to the trail ride to get them a free T-shirt. And that kind of promotes a little business in town, and it makes everybody search and look for those green horseshoes. So it makes it a little bit fun for everybody, even if they don't even come out here. And they can get them a T-shirt even. So it's just something new.
Love
to
it.
Do, something different.
That's great. Now I have some friends. I went to college with some folks that are from down around Alamo, but it's been a long time since I've seen them. How large is Alamo? How large a town, community are you in?
Alamo's guessing is about 5,000. We're not. Okay. We've got six little towns in our county. Our county is centered in the middle of West Tennessee, and we do not have a red light. You know, that just tells you how we're not backwards. We're really moving forward because we have this here and a whole bunch of other stuff. But
right.
We don't have red lights. You don't have to stop and wait at a red light in Alamo or anywhere in Crockett County.
Okay.
But it's a good atmosphere, great people. We have a great school here. Our sheriff's department are wonderful. Our sheriff rides in the trailer. He has a wagon and team. So everybody around here just pulls together to get this thing done. And if you come and you're from out of town, you will not meet a stranger. There's people, even though we got the cooking vendors here, there's people that are cooking at their campsite just for people to come by and eat. I mean, tonight, one guy's cooking chicken leg quarters. And he says, tell everybody to come down there to eat. And then tomorrow night, Thursday night, another man here in town is cooking a big pot of stew. He cooks that stew on a big black kettle on fire, and he's cooking for everybody here. Yeah, it's a great atmosphere. I mean, you will not be, it's just unbelievable. Our sheriff's department, they post, they have three to five deputies out here 24/7. They do a mobile unit out here on the spot. And if we have any problems at all, they're right there to help. They're not here to harass anybody or pick on anybody. They want you to enjoy yourselves. They want you to have a good time. But yet, you know, we're just not going to there to hear if we have problems. And that's what makes it so safe is because
right,
they are
right.
here.
Well, the reason
they used
that I
to, had the sheriff's department used to have trouble years ago getting anybody to volunteer to work on a weekend. And this trail ride, I called up there the other day, and one of the deputies told me, he said, everybody has signed up to work this weekend. Good.
Gosh. Well, when I asked about the size of Alamo, that's about the size community that I come from, just east of Nashville. And so it's really a community event. That's taken off, and everybody is involved in supporting and promoting this. And and I'm telling you, we got friendly folks here in Tennessee. And
yes,
so
we do.
Wherever you're listening, you've got time to hit the interstate, and it's just off of I-40, easy to get to, coming out from Memphis or Nashville, and even coming down out of Missouri, isn't it, Tina May?
Right.
You bet.
It's just very easy access.
Yeah. So we would encourage people to if you don't bring a horse, get out and enjoy the activities and the entertainment and support a great cause in Alamo, Tennessee this weekend. And I know that the ad that you have on the Facebook page says the 26th through the 27th, but it actually is starting tomorrow, isn't it?
Right,
with your parade. So head on out to Alamo, Tennessee, and you have a Facebook page that is Buck Creek Trail Ride. The website that you have is buckcreektrailride.org, and so you can get information there. And I guess, Kathy, folks could contribute even if they didn't show up, couldn't they?
Absolutely. We have it's set up through St. Jude that you can do online donations through our organization, through Buck Creek Trail Ride. You just get on the St. Jude site, and if you have trouble getting it done, just give me a call. I don't mind whoever wants to call, but we do have an online donation site set up through St. Jude.
Okay.
And what number should they call?
I'm sorry?
What number should they call if they have questions about donating?
If they need some information, feel free to call me at
731-617-1225. Okay. All right. Well, it sounds like a great time, and I'm sure there's contact information as well on the Facebook page and the website.
Correct.
And again, that's buckcreektrailride.org in Alamo, Tennessee. And this is the 16th annual trail ride to benefit St. Jude's Children's Hospital, and these folks have raised over $347,000. And so come out and have a good time, be a part of
it. That is
impressive. and you are going to love West Tennessee. So
yes, absolutely. It's going to be beautiful weather. I mean, it's just to the good. We have never had a rain out, and the good Lord has been so good. It's like He puts an umbrella over this farm for us to have this. Because one year we sit up here on Terry's porch and watched it rain. There's like a bottom area in front of his house.
Uh-huh.
We watched it rain all around this farm, and there wasn't even as much as a truck track on this farm when we got ready to have that trail ride.
Oh, wow.
So it's unbelievable.
Wow.
It is.
Well, Kathy and Terry, I want to thank you for being on the show. St. Jude's is very near and dear to my heart, and I can't wait to come down there and meet you both and participate. It sounds like a very fun-filled weekend ahead, and I hope that people listening come out with horse or without horse and support St. Jude's and come on out.
Hey, I thank y'all very much for having us both here. I mean, this is really wonderful that you asked us to be on the radio, and it's just once you ever come, you'll be hooked. You'll be coming back year after year. So I just really appreciate the opportunity that y'all have given us here to let everybody know.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kathy. Appreciate you guys.
All right. Goodbye.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. All right. Well, great information there. And we're going to take a quick break and be back with some more information for you. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, Saddle Up America, and right now we're going to listen to R.W. Hampton's Job for a Cowboy. And when we come back, we'll talk more with our trail partner, Tina Mae Weber.
Sweet little country girl, you fell too fast, you fell too hard. A true trusting believer, met a smooth talking lever, got a broken heart. Got used, got bruised, what's a girl to do when she needs someone to come to her rescue? That sounds like a job for a cowboy, to do that cowboy thing we do. Ride up on a white horse in a big white hat, save the day, just like that. It sounds like a job for a cowboy. It's all right to be all wrong. A kiss may be all you're needing when you're hurting, feeling like you're all alone. You need a hand, a real man, someone who understands. Well, your hero's coming fast as I can. That sounds like a job for a cowboy, to do that cowboy thing we do. Ride up on a white horse in a big white hat, save the day, just like that. Yeah, it sounds like a job for a cowboy. Yeah, it sounds like a job for a cowboy. Yeah, I'm your cowboy. It sounds like a job for a cowboy.
R.W. Hampton's job for Cowboy, and Tina May, is a pretty good show today.
It was very informative. Dennis is a hoot, and St. Jude's is a wonderful charity to support.
Well, it really is, and I had no idea that you could actually get seeds for one of those marshmallow bushes until I talked to you. So it was a lot of it was a lot of fun talking to Dennis, and we'll have to have him back on with some more recipes and some more stories, and yeah, Alamo is a great little community just between Jackson and Nashville, Tennessee. Easy to get to. Great friendly folks in Tennessee, and so I know you'll enjoy that visit down there, and you'll
meet.
So
awesome how the community pulls together for this. They all come together for this annual event for St. Jude's Children's Hospital, and I just think it's fantastic. Can't wait to go.
Yeah, and you'll meet Tina May down there, and so be sure and say hi to her. So it should be just a big time down there in Alamo, Tennessee. And again, that officially starts on the 25th and goes through the 28th. But a lot of fun. Can't beat the price for all the entertainment that you get down there.
No, you can't. You can't go wrong there.
Yeah, and all for a great cause. So, anyway, that was a good show, and we've got some pretty exciting things that are coming up this Thursday on the Thursday show beginning at noon Central Standard Time. American Cowgirl Challenge. We'll be talking about that again. We have some great guests for that show, and the American Cowgirl Challenge actually is taking place October 3rd through the 5th in Guthrie, Oklahoma. So it's going to be a lot of fun out there. They've got a lot of terrific entertainment. It's going to be so interesting to watch these young women compete in the different challenges and the events that will end up with them naming the American Cowgirl Challenge winner. So that's in Guthrie, Oklahoma, and we'll be talking about that on Thursday's show. And then we have kind of a special show coming up on Saddle Up America on the 30th. And who do we have for that one, Tina May?
Yes, we do. We travel with Matt Luttrell and Ray with the Long Trail Home. We will talk about his ride, his mission, how we can help the veterans. And then we travel to Pedro, Ohio, and we talk with Jill Romanello at Elkins Creek Horse Camp and Tack Shop. And she's going to be a new Legacy Club campground.
Oh, that's great. Well, we want people to watch out for that. And I want to talk about the Legacy Club for just a minute, but let me mention this. Matt will be on the show on Tuesday the 30th, and then he will be in Socorro, New Mexico, on the 3rd, and I know there are a lot of folks that are going to be riding out to ride and support Matt, so be sure and visit his Facebook page, that's the Long Trail Home, and then tune in next Tuesday to listen to Matt, and we might even take a call or two on that show, so that'll be next Tuesday the 30th. Beginning at noon Central Time. So good show with Matt and with Jill. And what else do we have coming up? The Legacy Club, it's, you know, the membership in that is growing, and that's a pretty good deal for folks, isn't it, Tina?
That's a pretty good deal. Absolutely. Our Legacy Club is free for our listeners. They are automatically entered in our drawings for free prizes. Plus, they get discounts from our participating Legacy Club sponsors and campgrounds, and a chance to win our year-end prize of a two-horse Hydro Horse system. And you can check those systems out at www.hydrohorse.com and join the Legacy Club today at equestrianlegacy.net.
Okay, you're starting to sound like a radio personality here. We've got to be careful.
Uh-oh.
gosh.
That's your job.
the neat thing about it is that when we have our guest on, I hope people feel like they're sitting around the campfire listening to us have a conversation. And everybody that's on the show are involved in horses. You know, we're all horse people. We all love to trail ride and are involved in different ways. And our guests are as well. So anyway, join us next Tuesday on Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America, this Thursday on the Campfire Cafe, both of those shows at noon Central Standard Time. And then beginning October the 12th, we're real excited to have Belinda Gale. She's a seven-time Female Artist of the Year with the Western Music Association, and this year she's nominated for Entertainer of the Year, Female Artist of the Year, Single of the Year, and Album of the Year. And Belinda will be joining us for a Sunday show every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Central Time, and that show is Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale. So she'll have interesting guests. We'll have some great gospel music. I know it's going to be a blessing and inspirational to people. And so that's coming up on October the 12th, Blessed Trails with Belinda Gale. And put that on your calendar and check our website, equestrianlegacy.net, for more information about things that are coming up, some charity events that we support and sponsor are listed there, as well as other information that I think you'll find helpful. So, Tina May, anything that you'd like to say to our listeners before we're gone for the day?
No, but I hope that they take time out in their schedule. If they're in the area, come out. Come to the St. Jude's Buck Creek Trail Ride, and I'd love to meet you and support a really good cause.
All right. Well, look for Tina May and Mocha. And I guess you're bringing Mocha.
Are you Taz.
Bringing Taz with you too, so should be easy to spot that trio. So a lot of fun in Alamo, Tennessee this weekend, and I hope good information and a lot of entertainment each week on Equestrian Legacy Radio. And we remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle,
get ready for the ride.
Get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio. Thanks for listening. We're going to leave you with Along the Buffalo by Belinda Gale, and this song has been nominated for Song of the Year with the Western Music Association. Talk with you soon.
Fills your soul along.
way of life was sacrificed, a gift to you and me. Bright and quiet reverence, paying tribute as we go to those good folks who once lived alone, the buffalo. Thank you.